The same good God who gave us the gospel also gave us the law, and he loves his law as much as he loves his gospel. In fact, neither can be fully understood or appreciated without seeing the relationship between the two. Recovering the doctrine of the law and gospel is essential to living well in the world that God has made. Join us for the National Founders Conference, January 21st through the 23rd of 2027, as we look at the scriptures to study not only the great gift of the gospel to us, but the usefulness and goodness of God's law that caused the psalmist to say, "Oh, how I love your law." You can find out more information and register for the conference at founders.org/conference. Use code FOUNDERS at checkout to save 10% on your registration. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. It has been a minute. There is a reason for that. I'll tell you about that here in a few. But first, I just want to tell you about Keep Watch. We've partnered with Keep Watch. It's a watch company down in Florida. The next 4 months, you're going to be hearing about it. I've got the ad that's going to be running, and you'll hear that as well. And I have the Spurgeon. I have the Spurgeon watch. So far, they've released the Spurgeon and the Knox. They're going to be having new releases come out, I think 100 at a time. So there's like 100 of the Spurgeons, 100 of the Knoxes. They're beautiful watches, and I did an unboxing actually on YouTube. You can follow the link in the show notes and find that. The company is a company that loves the Lord. They're a Christian company, and these watches have really great automatic movements in the inside from Japan. A good quality-built watch that's going to last, and they're beautiful. So check them out. Check out the coupon code, which is Crook, and you can get a free lapel. I mean, everybody's lapel pin. Everybody's loving lapel pins these days. Deus Vult is taking over the world. It's taken over our church anyways, and now you can add a Keep Watch lapel pin as well if you put that coupon code in when you purchase your watch. So make sure and do that. Run over there and pick one up or even ask for one for Christmas or birthday or something like that if it's too much for you just to go out and buy today. But it is really cool. Check out what they're doing. It's an awesome thing. Okay, second thing, I just want to ask you to be in prayer about my father. I've shared a little bit about him in the past, but a couple weeks ago, my dad redlined at the facility he was staying, and he lost his pulse and his breath. And we don't exactly know how long. There has been some pretty significant cognitive delays as he's come out of that. He was revived. He's at the hospital still. And I'm having to make a million calls and try to figure out how to get all these pieces put together to be able to get him into a nursing home as soon as possible. And this has been a long kind of go at it with my dad, trying to help him out. And I love him. I'm so thankful for him and want to do everything I can to honor him. And honestly, thinking about my dad and mom, the command to honor them, the fifth commandment is so critical. And sometimes it's hard to do that. And sometimes it's been difficult to know how to do that with my father, but I'm so thankful for him. And so would you pray with me and pray for him that he would have a little bit more recovery and that he would be placed in a nursing home. That's my request. So thanks so much for doing that. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and pray because I've not done that yet. And then we'll get into the fifth of the pastoral priorities in regulative principle pastoring. Let's pray. Father, I just need your help. As always, Holy Spirit, lead. I trust that you're going to bring encouragement. God, I thank you for your grace. I need it right now. My family needs it right now. The listeners need it right now. And we just thank you for everybody that's listening in. God, I just ask for blessing upon them now as well. For the pastors that are here, God, I pray this would help them just to think through what is pastoral ministry according to what God has said. And we know that this, within the Great Commission of pastors making disciples, is a critical piece to what we're doing in our life and our work. And so help us with that. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sip of coffee time. Just a second. Guys, I want to tell you about Keep Watch. Are you making the best use of your time? Ephesians 5 says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." That command is at the heart of Keep Watch. Keep Watch creates classic analog watches inspired by the faithful Christian men who came before us. Men like John Knox, who feared God more than he feared kings. Charles Spurgeon, who proclaimed Christ without apology and refused to compromise the truth. Martin Luther, who stood before the powers of his age with his conscience bound to the Word of God. These watches aren't about glorifying the men whose names are on them. They're about remembering the God they served and reminding us that our time is short, our calling matters, and our generation needs more faithful men. So wear something that reminds you to make the days count. Visit keep-watch.co and use the word crook with your order to receive a free Keep Watch lapel pin. That's keep-watch.co. Keep watch, stand firm, redeem the time, because the days are evil. There we go. All right, the Great Commission. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The first thing I want to consider when we think about pastoral ministry, when it comes to the context of the Great Commission, is the fact that everybody agrees that pastors should be making disciples. In the same way that everybody agrees that every Christian should be making disciples. A good question to ask is, who is discipling you and who are you discipling? And thinking through those, wanting to have answers for both ends of that. But one mistake that's common, especially in modern ministry, is relegating the Great Commission to the institution of the church and stripping it from the hands of the people of the church. What do I mean by that? Well, a church will come along and believe that it's the institution that actually is doing the Great Commission and think we're making disciples if we have people attending on Sunday morning, they're in a small group or a Sunday school class, and if they are serving somewhere on a serve team, something to that effect. So if you get 3 points of contact, then we can kind of get a measurable if we're making disciples or not. You know, in different churches, you may have different standards of if we're making disciples or not, but so many people want measurables. This is not just in non-denominational churches or low church environments. Even in high church environments, they want to have measurables because, after all, we want to know, are we doing what's right? And is there an effect to the work that we're doing? And so people want to have some sort of bullet points to say, this is what it looks like to make disciples. But what happens easily in the mind of organizations like that and pastors like that is that you take the Great Commission from the hands of the people and put it into the hands of the professionals, to where all you're responsible to do is love people around you, tell people about Jesus maybe here and there, and just get them to church. Okay, just get them to church. That's it. But one of the first things we have to realize about the Great Commission is it was given to the apostles and it was passed down to all Christians. This is our obligation to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. Baptizing and teaching. So in the context of pastoral ministry, then what does that look like? If that's going to be a priority, a pastoral priority, the work of ministry, then what does it look like? So let's look at it in kind of like concentric circles here, okay? The first circle, when it comes to making disciples, is making sure that you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you are learning the commandments that have been given to you from God. You want to do all that God has commanded you to do. That's our desire. We are ravenous because of the grace of God about the law of God. We want to honor and obey the Lord in all that He's commanded. So that's the first desire. First circle is walking humbly before God and man, and also being able to say, here are the men that are speaking into my life. For me personally, that's the elders in our church and other friends as well who have access to my life to be able to encourage me and build me up, and that also help me as I'm walking with the Lord. And then you start thinking about that second circle beyond your personal growth. Okay, what is that? Obviously, well, you have your family, okay? In that first circle would also be your wife, because God is using your wife in your life to grow you and challenge you and build you up and strengthen you and all those things. In the same way that you're leading your wife and you're helping her to honor the Lord, there's a discipleship that happens in the context of marriage that's really unlike anything else. And then related to that is the context of discipleship in the home with your children. As so many people have noted, you realize how selfish you are when you get married, but then you realize how really selfish you are when you have children. Well, when we think about discipleship as a pastor, because the household is the major qualifier for the work of ministry, you have to ask, am I making disciples at home? Am I baptizing? So that means evangelizing. And then when they come to faith, am I discipling and training them up and disciplining them in the instruction of the Lord? Am I teaching them to observe all that God has commanded? So you could say it like this, in the same way that the epicenter of the Great Commission work for the church is in the home, for the pastor, the epicenter of Great Commission work, of his ministerial work, is in the home, in discipling his family, in making disciples, building them up to walk in the ways of the Lord. This is our command. This is an area that we can all grow in. This is an area that I can grow in, learning how to walk with your wife and live with your wife in an understanding way, and to build her up and strengthen her and disciple her. learning how to love God's law and love God's gospel and raise your children the way God would have you is a learning process. You get better with time, but it's a process of learning. But you have to see that's the core, that's the epicenter. So the first thing is, if you have children at home, then you've got to, or I said it was the second thing, if you're going to be pastoring according to God's prescription, then you're going to be making disciples in your home. That's of chief importance. We have ordered loves here, and we love our children. And so those are the ones God has put in proximity to us. So we love our wife, we love our children, and we're discipling them. Okay, beyond that, beyond the household, a pastor also has fellow pastors. He's going to be spending time with fellow pastors. We talked about this in the friendship episode last time, or a couple times ago, about regulative principle pastoring, the need of depth over width, where you need to have real friendships, real accountability. If you're going to finish well, then you have to have men that are walking with you. In the same way, the elders are discipling one another. They're encouraging one another. They're building one another up. Andy and George and Lido and then Daniel, when he comes on, these men have encouraged me and strengthened me. They pray for me. They help me. They've helped our family. They're just wonderful men. So that's a part of the discipleship process. They're discipling you. You're discipling them. Then think beyond the elder team. You have men within the church. And if you were to go to a majority of pastors and say, who are you discipling? And if they say, well, I mean, the church, I'm discipling everybody in the church. Okay, well, okay, who are you evangelizing? And then who are you getting to baptize? Who are you discipling? And actually, give me some names of guys that you're working with. And if they can't give you names of guys that they're working with, then most likely there is some sort of neglect of this Great Commission command, this Great Commission in the life of the pastor. Because if all of his work is administration, training to preach, doing visitations and pastoral work in that way, which are all extremely important, but if he's not doing any work in training men, then there's something profoundly missing. And this is what I want the pastors listening in to know. Your obligation as a pastor is to make disciples. So you don't need to give the answer, well, here's how our church is making disciples. No, that's the wrong answer. How are you making disciples personally? What does it look like with your children? What does it look like with your wife? What does it look like with the rest of the church? What does it look like with the guys that you're meeting with? And so there should be a list of names. If we are going to pastor the way God has called us to pastor, then we're going to have to do things according to the way God has prescribed them to be done. And this is a critical component in these pastoral priorities. So if you're not discipling anybody, start discipling somebody. If you don't know where to start, there's a good book series that's put out. I think it was by, I heard about it from Nine Marks years ago. It's called Just for Starters. It's just something. If you don't know what to do, just do something. Open up the Bible and walk through the Bible with people. Go to Just for Starters. Get the Baptist Catechism. Go through the Baptist Catechism with some guys. Talk with the men, meet with them, and talk about life. One of the things that's been a great joy of my life over the last 10 years has just been meeting with guys at the house and going fishing with them and talking about life and catching up. How's your marriage? What's going on? What are you struggling with? What are the areas you're growing? And having good conversations like that is just a part of making disciples. And what you'll notice is when you just do something, and guys, you're pastors, I know you're doing something, but when you do something, what ends up happening is you watch God work. God is doing a work in the lives of people. And then over time, you're able to look and see, okay, I haven't built a house, but I can see some progress in the lives of the men that I'm working with. And so I think there's great reward there for men who will take that seriously in pastoral ministry. If you're wanting to pastor the way God has called you to pastor, then you're going to have to be a disciple maker. Get some names. Who's discipling you and who are you discipling? Thanks so much for listening, guys.